Hi there, I'm Barbara Turley and you're watching another episode of Feminine Wealth TV, the show that uncovers the diamond tips on creating truly conscious wealth from change makers, world shakers and wealth creators. Now I'm joined on the show today by somebody who is at the forefront of innovation, Amy Renee Havorka. She is the CEO of Innovation Firebug, which is an online platform that promotes innovative thinking and innovation online. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me, Barbara.
Delighted to finally talk about this topic of innovation because, you know, it's a bit of a buzzword out there at the moment. Everyone's trying to innovate. Innovation's key to everything. But what I really wanted to ask you first is, what is innovation in its most basic form? Are we getting it right?
You're absolutely correct. If you look on any website, you'll see innovation come up within the first 15 words. But what does it actually mean other than a really cute marketing term? So what we've done in Innovation Firebug is redefined innovation. Because at the moment, it's just marketing. It's very nebulous. It's very expansive. And it doesn't enable you to understand what it is or how to do anything about it.
Are you being innovative? Are we being innovative or are we just thinking we're being innovative?
Absolutely. So what we've done is tried to structure an approach for defining how innovative you actually are by defining if innovation is for the benefit of the customer. So, and it's defined by the customer as to what that benefit is. It's benchmarked against the global market. So when you look at innovation, you can look at it on a scale from incremental to developmental to breakthrough.
Ah, right.
Okay. Innovation purists will say, that's continuous improvement or that's incremental. It's not true innovation.
Meaning breakthrough. They're talking about like innovation as breakthrough stuff.
As breakthrough. Yeah, okay. But what you actually have is if you only look at breakthrough innovation, you're demotivating innovation.
So because we always think, well, how do I get that blockbuster thing to be innovative? But actually, maybe you were saying we can be innovative in a much more daily way.
You can be innovative in incremental ways and you will develop towards that breakthrough, the blockbuster, the showstopper innovation. So what happens a lot in companies is people don't know how to be innovative. They don't know how they align with innovation because there's no definition that they can really connect with that says how they can be innovative. So that's the first disconnect that we're actually trying to solve. And what we've come up with is 11 different elements of innovation. And that's what you can see here in the little flame behind me.
Oh, yes.
Are the 11 different colours of innovation. Mm. And by defining it into segments of what are the areas of innovation, then you can understand how innovative you are in each of those to have a whole picture of what your spark looks like, your innovative fire.
Oh, I love that. It's in your company. So actually we can be more innovative in so many different ways that possibly we don't even know about yet.
Absolutely.
So I just want to take a step back for a second and just how do you go from you're in school, you go to uni and then, you know, when I grow up, I want to be an innovator. Like how did you get into this whole space?
I actually never said when I grow up I want to be an innovator because it didn't exist.
No.
And it's sort of, we're shaping it at the moment, yeah. So, and I'm not the mad professor type, so I don't dream of being an inventor either. I actually fell into it accidentally. Mm. So very lucky, blessed in my career. I had a career in strategic procurement, went to Saudi Arabia to be one of the founding members of the King's University.
Oh, fabulous.
And in doing so, the King built a university which was developing new industry other than the oil industry. So high-level research, brought in people from all over the world, researchers and developers that would do master's, PhD and all of the research to come up with other approaches. And I had the opportunity to move from strategic procurement into invention management.
Oh, that's so exciting. I mean, it sounds amazing to be in something like that. But was that the truth? Was it exciting?
It is that amazing.
Yeah.
Because what happens is when you're working with innovators, you work with them and they come in and they burst into your office and they're like, I've got an idea and I've just come up with this and I've solved something that I've been working on. And you're working with somebody at the most exciting point of their life. Mm. So I was kind of like the cheerleader getting behind them going, okay, let's make this idea happen. What are the obstacles? And there was many obstacles. There's many obstacles to getting innovation off the ground. So it was all about managing the intellectual property, moving it forward, like proving the concept that it worked, making it so it was tangible so that the industry could see what we were working on.
So you can actually implement.
So we could
actually
implement.
It's not just a big idea, yeah, okay.
So my role was taking it from concept and helping the inventor go along the pathway towards reality to commercialization of the idea.
Wow, yeah.
And in doing so, because I came from procurement, had creative ways of approaching sort of prototype development and ring fencing the process so that we could manage it separate from the organization.
Now, for those of us who don't know, because I'm one of them, what is procurement? Just
procurement,
so we know what we're talking about.
Is buying things smartly.
Oh.
We women, we do it all the time.
Yeah.
I was in
savvy,
procurement.
Being savvy. I should have known that.
Yeah. I did procurement today. Basically, it's buying things smartly. So if you're looking at your spend profile and you understand that rather than going out and buying an item each time you need it, that you actually set up a supply chain so that you can you communicate to the market what your buying power is. So rather than buying a $100 item each time, well, you actually spend $300,000 on that over the year. So you communicate it to the market, you aggregate that buying, and it enables you to do better deals or have better service. It's leveraging your buying power.
So that's something actually that even small business can actually do. If they were to think strategically on a year to, even like with stationery or something, you could probably do something like that on a grander scale with even a small business.
With even a small business. Mm. And it's understanding what your spend profile is and then leveraging it and working with it. And if you have like a supplier market where you've diversified, you get lots of little things from different people, but you could actually get it from the same people, from the same suppliers, then you've got your shipping, or you coordinate the timing of different items that you're purchasing. It's just
it's leverage,
different strategies, different approaches. So that's what I was doing, and I saved Caltex $100 million over 3 years by doing
$100 million. Wow.
Doing a strategic sourcing strategy, looking at things differently,
So then you moved into the innovation world, and what brought you back to Australia where you are now and into launching this amazing company that's your own company now? And where was the time to say I've had enough of doing this for others and coming back to do your own thing?
The transition back to Australia was an interesting one, because it was partly my choice and partly not entirely my choice.
Okay.
I loved my job. I loved what I was doing in Saudi, working with the industry, educating them on what innovation was and the technologies that the university was working on, and going through that evolution, and it was a challenging and interesting role. I really loved it. I actually had to leave Saudi Arabia very quickly on an exit. It was an interesting situation.
Was it a political situation?
It was a personal political situation.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I won't go into it too much, but basically, women have a different standing in Saudi Arabia to men, and they have what they call religious police, which uphold the rules of men and women not interacting together, things like that. And the King's University was a mixed university. It was the first one in the country where it was men and women working together, men and women studying together. It didn't have to wear the abaya on the university. But there were members of the general Saudi community who didn't agree with this.
They didn't like that.
So they wanted any opportunity that they could to find somebody who worked for KAUST and set them up as an example. So it was actually a very influential man who I walked out on the date with, and he called the religious police on me, and he was very influential, and that was an interesting situation. So got out of it safely.
Yeah. But look at you now. I mean, maybe sometimes things happen, I think, to drive us in the direction that we're supposed to be going.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was like, this is the universal kick in the butt that it's time to go.
Yeah.
I'm listening. I'll go. I'll get on a plane and I'll leave.
And sometimes I think we don't listen to those. I know there'd be lots of women watching that would have ideas, or they're stuck in jobs they hate or whatever, and they're not listening to sort of some of these signals that are coming to tell them they need to be doing something different.
So that was the signal. And so when I came back to Australia, beaming with all of this energy of like what I've been working on, and talking to companies here, and I went into actual an innovation strategy role for one of the big banks, and which was set up, but it was like innovate within the box.
Yeah, it's not really innovation.
Basically, this is how I came up with the methodology. Because my approach was structure it. Take something that's ambiguous and structure it and make it so you can actually identify, capture, measure, report on what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the concept was to be able to understand and identify innovation, where I came up with the 11 types of innovation, mm-hmm. the 11 elements. But it wasn't working out that way because we don't know what innovation is. We just like click your fingers. Where is it? Why haven't we got it?
So actually the starting point really with all of this is actually what we started with, which is defining what is innovation and where you are on this scale that you've developed of how innovative something is. So tell me, how can we be in small to medium-sized businesses that are, you know, women watching this who are running their own businesses, how can we be more innovative every day in a small business, do you think?
We absolutely can be more innovative if we understand what innovation means. And when you understand what it means, then you can look at reframing what you're doing in your business. So if you have a tangible product that mm-hmm. you're working with, can you look at the functionality of it, how it works, what it's
The whole customer experience thing, as you were talking about earlier.
That's another
type. Improving the customer experience.
So the different elements of innovation go into different areas. And one of them that I'm really happy with is sustainability innovation. Recognizing, doing something differently for the environment or for social sustainability as being innovation. Cost innovation, doing the customer experience, the whole of life cycle of the customer experience, all the way through finding out about your product, researching it, using the product, doing the purchase as well, and disposal at the end.
Okay. Yeah.
So understanding that. So you've got your product and your service, business model innovation, shifting your channel, looking at, okay, if I'm currently in a person-to-person interaction, can I go into an online mode, or is there a different way of, like, pop-up shops, a channel innovation?
Yeah, okay. So looking at where things are going. I suppose we talked off-air, actually, about the whole idea of having to pivot in business, and sometimes, you know, having to change tack quickly because the market's moving or showing you that something's not working. Where does pivoting in business play a part in the whole innovation piece? Is there sort of a joining area there that they come together?
So the theory of innovation and startup development is fail fast, learn fast, and pivot.
Yeah.
And we're definitely doing that. So what you do is you keep yourself lean.
Mm-hmm.
You go with small developments, small interactions, and then get your feedback. And it sounds really formalized, but it's really just going out there, experimenting.
Yeah.
So action precedes clarity. If you define an action, then you actually understand what you need to do to improve upon it.
Mm. And asking your clients and customers can be sometimes the easiest way to actually get some answers. Would you agree?
It can be. Mm. I don't know if it's the easiest way.
Well, yeah.
And it's sometimes the most daunting way to actually put yourself out there and go, so,
Yeah, what do you think of how am I performing? Yeah.
But it does make a lot of sense. But to do that, you have to understand exactly who your customer base is. So to have that segmentation, because you can get feedback that's not relevant.
That's not relevant, yeah.
If it's coming from the wrong place. But it's pivot, like we've done several pivots. One of them was, so Innovation Firebug has had several developments and pivots along its growth journey.
Yeah.
And most recently we realized that we're dealing with innovation and people don't necessarily understand what innovation means.
Yes.
And it's a pivot and it's augmenting what we have, which is putting together education material to support it.
Mm. And that's innovative in itself, like what we were talking about. I mean, you're talking about customer experience there, so you're having to change direction a bit to cope with innovating in your own business.
And it's actually offering an additional service to
complement what you're doing. Mm. Yeah. What I love as well is that I know, you know, the big topic out there at the moment is women in business not getting money in capital raisings, not being able to raise capital. And one of the things I feel is that there's money out there for everything. And I often think that sometimes we're not presenting ideas in the right way. That's a generalization. But what you're talking about is learning how to, you know, the big idea, how to present it in a more structured way, I think would really help actually when it comes to raising capital as well. Some of these things.
Absolutely, because if you don't understand what innovation is or how your, let's turn it around. So innovation is your unique selling point of how you're different to your competitors.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a common language for communicating what that difference is, then you miss those opportunities. Mm. And I don't think it's just women in that regard.
No, no, no.
But what I find with women is that we don't put ourselves forward and really say how we're different or wave that banner and go, you know what, I'm fantastic.
I'm great. Yeah, like I'm amazing. Yeah, what I do.
We don't do that.
No.
Because
we wait for people to recognize that we're brilliant. Mm-hmm. You know, but and then we get embarrassed about having to say it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That's an interesting challenge, which this will help in an inner way. So what we've actually done is by having the 11 elements of innovation, mm-hmm. we have an online portal that enables anyone with a brilliant idea to be able to communicate what that idea is without revealing the intellectual property.
Ah, that's great, because then you protect it.
So you're protecting the intellectual property. It's all about protecting the inventor and the person. We call them the ideator. Because ideator is an inventor, an entrepreneur, a startup. It sort of covers all of those areas. It's a person with the idea. And what we've developed is like a personality test for innovation.
Ah, very cool.
So you go on and you do this questionnaire and you understand from that what your areas of innovation are and how hot your idea is.
So you put your idea, this test is around the idea.
Mm-hmm.
So you put your idea in there, and so you can use this to, let's say you have an idea, could you use this to go in and just test it first to see whether it is actually an innovative idea?
Absolutely.
And is this based on what other people are doing or based on your framework?
It's based on the framework. It's not comparative. It's going through the different elements of innovation to understand whether it's incremental, developmental, or breakthrough.
By
understanding it in each of the types, you can have a full picture of that. And we call it the spark. So it's
how bright is the spark?
How bright is your spark? How hot is your idea?
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, so anybody really can jump on your platform.
It is for anyone who has an idea, who wants to understand how innovative it is.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also those who have come up with these brilliant ideas and they don't know how to reach their market.
Yeah, right, okay, yeah. So they come up with the idea, they go onto your platform. So how can your platform help with them reaching the market? Is that something that you guys are doing?
Absolutely. That's one of the core areas that we're focusing on, is reaching the market.
Mm-hmm.
It's not... Moving innovation forward is not just about funding. Mm. It's often about support and having the right interaction with your client while you're building it, so co-developing innovation and finding that market that's interested early on so that you're actually developing something that is targeted to your market.
Yeah, and you're right, supported in that early stage so that it does keep going rather than falling over because you don't have any support.
So many brilliant ideas don't see the light of day because they don't know how to communicate how innovative the idea is.
Yeah.
They don't know how to find their market. And when they do, they're sort of holding all their cards really close to their chest.
They're afraid to put the idea out.
Opportunities.
Yeah. So on your platform, so people come on the platform. They do, first of all, you would do the test to see how innovative your idea is. And then what's the next step after that? So talk me through how this whole process would work for someone who wanted to try it out.
So how it works is you go on the platform, you create a spark, you do the questionnaire, and you get your innovation heat index.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, you've given your idea a name and a 35-word description.
Okay.
So not very long, just a very short description of what it is, so give a snapshot. Once you've got that, you have a pretty good idea of what that innovation is, what that spark is. It's then placed in the interactive categorization engine, ICE, so Fire and ICE. And this categorization engine has 59,000 categories.
Oh, right. Does it decide what category you are or your idea is?
You can actually search and find the category. And when I say 59,000 categories, it's very easy to use. There's 20 different industries. You just drill down through a hub and spoke mechanism.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
And you search and you
To find the place for your idea.
So you pin your idea against all these different categories.
Mm.
And it could actually cross different industries. So let's say you have an idea for cleaning solar panel devices.
Mm.
And so that's in cleaning and maintenance, it's in environmental technology, it would be in solar panels. So, and just by pinning it against those categories, you get a very solid idea of where that idea lays. So the market...
Relative to other ideas, is there?
Relative to other ideas.
And relative to the framework.
So yeah, relative to
along the framework.
Relative to the fr- the framework.
Yeah.
What you can now do is your market can look at these categories, because when you're looking for innovation, you're often looking at it from a category point of view. You're like, I want to solve something, or I want to know what's happening in the market in
clean tech or something, or you just sort of go into these ideas. Yeah.
So I want to know what's happening in clean tech, and then you search that category, and this spark will appear, and it will tell you a brief summary of like what the description is, how innovative it is.
Mm-hmm.
So now these people can see each other where they haven't been able to see each other before. What happens
would these next? Be in, and sorry, would investors go in here as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so investors could go in and have a look at what's happening in the innovation space and who's coming up with ideas. But without these, the innovator's idea being unprotected. So the idea is protected from an IP perspective and all that.
From an IP perspective, in terms of it's not revealing the idea, it's not going through any intellectual property process at this point. What happens next is they ignite a discussion in the site, and they sign a mutual non-disclosure.
Is this kind of like this is kind of like a dating app for this is like it's eHarmony for the innovators and the investors in the market.
Absolutely,
I love that. Yeah, it's Tinder.
Well, it's slightly better than Tinder. Yeah. It's got the flame going.
Good, yeah.
So, yeah, it's an ability to see what's happening in the market, ignite a discussion, protect the intellectual property on both sides. So the market who's looking, let's say it's a large organisation, and they want to talk to somebody who's doing solar panel cleaning. They don't want other people to know that they're looking. So it's a mutual non-disclosure agreement. So it's protecting both sides. So they can talk about their strategy and where they're going with their vision, and the ideator can talk about what their idea is and have it protected.
Oh, I love that. That's amazing. And then what happens, let's say they want to take it further, does it stay on the platform, or how does that bit work?
Ideally, they should take it further on the platform. Mm-hmm. So you've got third-party tracking of any discussions that take place, so that's how the non-disclosure agreement works. Mm-hmm. If they take it offline, it's not covered by that mutual non-disclosure agreement, but what we're hoping to do is offer additional legal support.
Mm-hmm.
So it's giving the right information at the point when they need it, which is one of the greatest challenges of being an entrepreneur or an innovator
is
like, I've got this brilliant idea and there's so much I need to do. Where do I find the information?
And then you're overwhelmed.
And
Totally overwhelmed.
I went from coaching inventors on moving their ideas forward and how to start up to it being my own idea and going, wow, how do I actually do it?
Well, yeah, and when it's your own, you think, oh, God, where do I even start?
I need one of me for me.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. So that was the sort of motivation behind this platform, I guess.
That was the motivation behind the platform. And also the idea that innovation moves forward when you collaborate, when you work together, when you accelerate. And when you work together, you accelerate innovation.
Yes.
So rather than these companies looking at, okay, I want to have wearable technology or solar, there's no solution out there, so we'll build one in-house. And then the solution comes up from a startup or an entrepreneur, and they're now competing. But if
so it's actually a fully collaborative, supportive, you know, allow the ideators to actually come up with their ideas and then allow these big companies to come in and work with them.
To work with them and give them the structures to work with them.
Yeah.
Because it needs to be in licensing agreements, consortium agreements, co-development.
Mm.
And so those legal frameworks haven't had a chance to evolve to the level that they need to, because the demand hasn't been there.
Mm.
But the demand hasn't been there because the corporates don't know what they don't know. The organisations don't know what they don't know.
Mm.
They don't know that this innovation exists out there. Because there's been no way of
finding it. Of actually, so you're just building a platform where this all comes together. What I love about this actually is that when you were talking, I was thinking, you know, all these business models, the many-to-many business models that are coming up, like the Airbnb, for example. I mean, totally different from what you're doing. But this idea that people are protected on the platform, they can be connected, and once they stay on the platform, it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
So you're really bringing in lots of different ideas into this platform that's just so innovative in itself.
I just wanted to scale what I was doing naturally.
Yeah.
Which was, I was talking to this company. I worked with Cisco for a little while, and they were looking into wearable technology and Internet of Things and Internet of Everything.
Mm.
And I'm like, wow, you really need to talk to this professor that I know in Saudi Arabia. And I'm like, okay, this is...
So you were connecting people anyway.
I was connecting people anyway, and this was the microcosm that I knew. And I'm like, what else is out there that we don't know about, that that these companies could adopt this technology, accelerate what they're doing, move so much faster? And when you do that, and preserve the integrity of the invention, of why it was developed, then you can actually have invention for the greater good. That's our purpose.
Yeah, and is that, that's your big why?
That's our big why.
That's why you're doing what you're doing. Yeah, because I remember asking you that before. It was like, you know, do you want to see, you can transform the entire, the way innovation is done globally with a platform like this, and that's, that just pushes everyone forward.
That's the big why. It's about the ideator, protecting them, enabling the adopter to see what's happening, work together. Johnson's talks about collision of innovation, that you may have an idea, I have an idea. Yeah. And when we actually talk, our ideas merge and we have a greater
idea. And it explodes. That's your breakthrough then. You can get to breakthrough innovation that way.
So you start off in, and you build up from incremental to developmental, and then you can be breakthrough.
Yeah.
So
now tell me, so with the platform, so is it launched?
It is launched.
It's launched now. And how are you going to get this out? How are we going to spread this? How are we going to spread this message about it? Because obviously you need volume on this platform as well for it to kind of work. You need some people to take it on. How are you going to do that?
So the... We do.
Apart from being on this show. We've got a fly here that's loving us.
Yeah, no, we're very friendly bugs.
A friendly bug, yeah, exactly.
So the idea with the building network effect in the platform is because we have to have both the ideators and the adopters.
Yes.
What we have with this categorization mechanism is a way of understanding what innovations are out there in what category and what innovations are wanted in what category.
Oh, yes, okay.
So the idea is to build network effect like that. So attract adopters to the market, find out what categories they pin, and then communicate it to the innovation market and say, hey, get on board. We've got companies that are interested in mining technologies, that are interested
in clean
tech. That's the idea. It's interesting. It's an interesting challenge is getting out there.
Is it free to go on the platform?
No, it's a subscription model.
Yeah, right, okay,
At the moment, we are doing free subscriptions to build that network effect, and we're running promotions to get the ideators into the platform.
Yeah.
Because they have to prove it to me.
Because you're in the early stages, of course. Mm. Yeah, of course. So tell me, what is the... If somebody wants to go on the platform, somebody out there has got a great idea and they want to try this out, where should they go? Tell me where they can find out more about you and the vision and the platform.
They can go to the website, which is innovation-firebug.com.
Yeah, we'll have a link to that on the screen now.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
And that's where they can find out about the promotion that we're running in December.
Fantastic, yeah.
So as this is going longer term, I can mention it.
If it's December 2014 when you're watching this, there's a promotion, but go on the platform anyway, because I'm sure you guys are going to be doing lots more to promote this.
And we are, and we're actually going to start developing knowledge and training materials on innovation. Mm-hmm. So what are the 11 different elements of innovation? How can you understand, if you have innovation in the area, how can you understand to reframe and possibly build innovation in that area?
Yeah, or how can you become more innovative? Like, some people might be just thinking, I would love to be coming up with more ideas, but how do I ignite that in myself? Maybe that's, you know, or am I being innovative? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So build a community around this whole innovation thing. I mean, I love the fact that I've had you on the show, because I just firm believer that innovation, I mean, the world is in quite a funk and has been for a long time. And innovation is the thing that will get us out of this. If we're all thinking more along these lines, this is what will lead us to a really, really powerful world. So I just love what you're doing, and thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much. I'm incredibly excited and passionate about innovation, and I look forward to seeing some really great ideas coming through.
Absolutely, me too. I think I might jump on there myself. So thank you for joining again for another week, and I really hope some of you who have fantastic ideas out there jump on the platform and have a look and just get your spark going. Remember also, you can catch me later this week on my podcast, where I'll be giving you my top tips from my chat today with Amy Renee. So until next week, have a great week, and we'll see you soon.